He just did not know anywhere else to turn other than to Jesus. Believe me, he tried everything. Education, achievement, recognition. He tried to follow every path that people told him would make him happy. And at the end of it all, he was still miserable. The truth is, he would probably describe himself as someone who was sick at heart. I just can't find anything that gives my life purpose. He tried to be a good person. He tried to do the right things. He'd even been committed to spirituality, but none of it was working for him. From time to time, somebody would say to him, "Nick, the person you need in your life is Jesus." And he would silence them with a stare. He knew he was far too wise, far too experienced to be pulled down that road. "Jesus is for the ignorant and the superstitious," he would declare. And that would be the end of that. But time went by. Nothing was working. And finally, Nick said to himself, "It can't hurt to try." After all, if he took time to look into Christ, then for the rest of his life, he could say to busybodies who were getting into his business, "I've tried Jesus, and it just did not work for me." That's why the night came when he approached that figure by the fireside and began a conversation. "Jesus, I know that you're a spiritual man." And Jesus stopped Nicodemus in his tracks and proclaimed, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." And then came the gospel in a verse, the greatest message the world has ever known. "For God so loved the world." We read it together again a moment ago. In fact, it was funny to me as we were reading John 3:16 together, because the translation that we use today that we often use is the New King James translation, which sounds very much like the old version, but it's a little bit different. And I was noticing that as we were reading John 3:16, everybody had to put on their mental brakes because it said, "Whoever believes in him," and we were all going, "Whosoever." John 3:16 is the heart of the gospel. You see, the only answer for Nicodemus is still the only answer that works today. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not one answer among many. What the Lord demanded of Nicodemus is the same thing he boldly requires today from every person who would find peace with God. You must be born again. If the church is ever going to become all it needs to be again in America, if lost people around us are going to have a spiritual awakening, it will be because we came back to that same basic message and made it the anchor for our lives. As I said a little while ago, the theme of this year is living a right side up life in an upside down world. And if we're going to learn what it means to live a right side up life, then we need to begin at the beginning. And the beginning is the heart of the gospel. And the heart of the gospel is John 3:16. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking together very closely at what John 3:16 has to say to you. Because you need to know. And I need to tell you. If you're here today and you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, I cannot promise you that somewhere over the next month you're going to come to know Jesus, because that's between you and him. And you'll have your own decision to make about following Christ. But I can tell you this. If you're here for the next 4 weeks, then never again will you be able to say, "Nobody told me what I needed to know about God, what I needed to know about Jesus, and what I needed to know about everlasting life." I am looking forward to going through these passages together, because John 3:16 tells us something unbelievable about the Lord. As we begin, we realize this. It says, "God loved." God so loved the world. God loved. Can you imagine that? Well, probably you can, because you've grown up in a culture that's saturated with that whole idea that God loves you, that God loves us all, that God is a God of love. But I will tell you this, before Jesus, nobody ever put those two terms together. Nobody ever said God and love in the same sentence. The truth is, Nicodemus did not grow up believing in a loving God. Now understand something. Nicodemus was a leader of the Jews. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a rabbi and a scribe of great stature. But he never learned anything about a God of love. Nicodemus practiced a religion based on keeping the rules. And the rules had rules, and the rules and the rules had sub-rules, and there were more rules and more rules, and everybody was trying to follow the rules, and nobody wanted to get it wrong because it was so important that you follow religious rules. A lot of people still feel that way today. If I'm going to be right with God, then I need to find out what the rules are, and I need to keep the rules, because if I keep the rules, then God owes me, and I'll be all right with Him. You know what was missing in Nicodemus' life? The idea that there was even the possibility of a personal relationship with God. In Nicodemus' world, God was up there, far away, where nobody could reach Him. And we were down here doing our very best to keep the rules and hoping that that meant God would bless us and not punish us. What Jesus told Nicodemus was completely new, that God cares about people, that God really does care about you. It may be that you're here this morning and you're thinking to yourself and you have wondered for a while, does anybody care? Does anybody care about me? Does anybody care about what I'm struggling with? Does anybody care about the challenges that are facing me? Does anybody care about the things that break my heart? Does anybody care? And Jesus would say, yes, you have a God who cares for you. When Jesus told Nicodemus that God cared, what he was simply saying was this: He's ready to save you. Not because he has to, because he wants to. That was like water to a thirsty soul. God loves you, and he wants to save you. He doesn't want to save you because you've kept all the rules. He doesn't want to save you because somehow you deserve it. He doesn't want to save you because grudgingly he realizes he has to. Instead, he wants to. He loves you, and he cares for your soul. In fact, by the time he got to verse 16, Jesus had spent all of chapter 3 telling Nicodemus this: if we got what we deserved, none of us would have a chance. We're without God. We're without hope in the world. But God loved. A love that is not for the deserving, but the undeserving. A love that offers all, but demands everything. A love that forgives people and restores people and brings them back to God. It is the love that changes everything. It's the personal love of a heavenly Father. But Jesus didn't just leave it with that blanket statement. Instead, he began to talk to Nicodemus about what it means to realize God loves you. And he wanted him to know God's love is a deliberate love. The Bible says God loved the world. I want you to think about that. God loved the world. The people walking around on this little planet who had a special place in his heart. But don't ever think that God was sentimental about the kind of world he was loving. He didn't look down from heaven and convince himself this place is full of sweetness and light. He was not a mushy kind of God, not a grandfathery kind of God. He was a real, loving God. What do I mean? I mean, God knew exactly the kind of world he had chosen to love. He looked down from heaven and he saw a dark world. It is no accident that when the Bible describes the birth of Jesus, it says it took place in the darkest part of the night. Jesus came to save those who walked in darkness. And God knew when he chose to love this world that he was loving a dark world, a world that was struggling to find its way and could not find anything to guide them through the darkness. God knew he loved a rebellious world that rejected him and his ways. In fact, if you went back to the Gospel of John and went back to the first chapter when it describes the coming of Jesus, it says he loved his own and they turned away from him. They would not receive him. He loved a broken world where nothing worked and nothing could work without him. A dark world, a rebellious world, a broken world. How do you love a place like that? How can you care about people whose lives are so messed up, who have wandered so far away from the Lord, who have turned their backs on his will and his ways? How do you love a world like that? Well, the answer is because what the Lord saw most was a lost world. He looked down on us and he didn't see our sin and our failure and our rebellion so much as he saw our lostness. He saw a world that was wandering around looking for some kind of hope, looking for some kind of truth, wishing that somebody would show them the way. And his heart went out to a lost world that needed a Savior or there was going to be no hope. Lost people who were spiritually dead and eternally doomed unless somebody did something. And he was the only one who could. And he was the only one who cared. He still is. In a lost world where so many people look for answers in everything except Jesus, the Father still loves. And the Father still reaches out to save lost people. Not only is God's love a deliberate love, the Bible also tells us that God's love is an intensive love. Isn't it interesting how many times it's the little things that make the difference? Those little things that seem so insignificant in a moment, and yet they make all the difference. I'll never forget, several years back, our son was working on fixing something to eat, and he opened a can of green beans to enjoy that with his meal, and he poured it out and he warmed it up and he got it ready and he threw it away because he found out he bought a can of unsalted green beans. Just a little salt would have made all the difference, but without it, ugh. Now, his southern daddy would have said, a little salt and a little grease to make it really, really good. Little things can make all the difference. And John 3:16 demonstrates that same principle. There is a little thing that makes everything else so much more intensive. And what is that little thing? It is the word so. God so loved the world. He cared so much about this place where we live. What difference does it make? It means God's love is not casual. He loves the Lord of the world with an intensive love. He so loved the world, and he would do anything to save lost people. No wonder verses 14 and 15 say, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Another little word, that. God so loved the world that he was willing to give his life. God so loved the world that he would not leave us alone. God so loved the world that he told us the truth whether we wanted to hear it or not. God so loved the world that he opened up a door and gave us potential to have an eternal life with him. When he allowed his son to be lifted up on the cross, carrying the sins of the world, he was revealing his heart. He loved us so much, he was willing to let his son die for us. And he did. God so loved the world that he gave his son. You know, I've been preaching now for more than 30 years. Which is an astounding thing when you realize I'm only 37 years old. And it's none of your business how long I've been that old. I've been preaching the gospel for more than 30 years. When I went away to seminary, I had two intensive focuses that I had in my studies. One was the philosophy of religion, and the other was historical theology. And I wrote some deep papers on some deep things that deep people have said. But you know what? As time has gone by, I'm more aware that there's so much left yet to learn. But more than that, the older I get, the more attracted I am to simple truths. I don't need deep theology. I don't need to try to explain the unexplainable. I just want to hang on to the simple things. And there's one thing I know more today than I knew yesterday. And I know it more than I knew it last year. And I know it more today than I knew when I first began to proclaim the Word of God. And you know what it is? Nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody. And if you trust him, he will change your life. He'll change your future. He'll change your eternal destiny. And there's nothing he wants to do more. But you have to trust him. You see, John 3:16 also tells us this, that God's love is both inclusive and exclusive. Jesus told Nicodemus two things that you really need to hear this morning. The first one is this: God loved the world. God so loved the world. Not a particular nation, not just certain people. God loved the world. He looked down on this place and he saw all of these lost people and he wanted to bring everyone to himself. There's one thing I believe more than anything in the world, it is truly this, that you've never looked into the eyes of a person Jesus doesn't love, and you've never shaken hands with a person Jesus did not die to save. His love is inclusive of everybody. There'll never be a time when you will see the Lord Jesus Christ say to anybody, I want you and I want you and I want you, but I don't want you at all. You're in, but you're out. He so loved the world. There's only one way I know that you can escape the saving love of Christ. And you know what that is? It is to be already saved. It is an inclusive love for everybody. But the second thing we need to remember is also his first message to Nicodemus. Remember how the conversation began? He looked Nicodemus right into the eyes and he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You. It is inclusive. But it's also exclusive. And it's exclusive in the fact that until you make the decision that you will trust him, you cannot experience salvation. You have no hope for everlasting life. You cannot be right with God except through Jesus, his son. While his love is to all of us, his call is to each of us. You know what would make my job so easy? It would make my job so easy if I could stand here on a Sunday morning. Maybe I could pick one Sunday out of the year and just say, everybody come to the front. If you're here in the sound of my voice, just come to the front, because today I'm going to declare that everybody is saved, that everybody is in a right relationship with God, that everybody has the assurance of eternal life. I wish I could do that. It would make my job easy. But the truth is, my job is to proclaim the truth, and then your job is to hear God speaking to your heart, personally and individually. It is to have a personal relationship with Christ, because while God's love is for the whole world, God's love is not generic. God's love is deeply personal. It is deeply personal for every one of us. And while each of us has the opportunity to respond to Jesus, each of us also has to make the same decision that Nicodemus had to make that night. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? You see, God's love transforms lives. But he transforms lives when people choose to trust him. Every one of us is responsible in an individual way for what we're going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't make that decision for you, and you can't make that decision for me. All of us have to hear him calling, "I love you. Come to me." You know, if I were going to share any of my testimony would be that while I was a Christian for a long time, the transforming moment of my life was when I realized how much he really loved me. And his love changed everything. And his love can change everything for you as well. But you have a decision to make. I've always thought it was interesting that when I read the story of Nicodemus in John 3, the Bible really never tells us what choice Nicodemus made. Now, he'll show up later. And that gives us a chance to believe around Easter time that he made that choice for Jesus. But the Lord left it with him. You got your own decision to make. And that's my declaration to you today as well. You've got your own decision to make. What are you going to do with Jesus? Will you trust him? Will you follow him? Will you allow him to be your Savior and make him the Lord of your life? Have you made that personal choice? If not, then today can be that day. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And I'll be here at the front. Dr. Hutchins will be here at the front. Both of us would love to introduce you to our Savior. And you could leave this place knowing you have everlasting life based on the love of God for you. You need to come. In a moment, we'll stand, we'll sing. All you've got to do is come here to the front and say, "It's time for me to come to know Jesus." Will you do it? Let's stand together. Let's sing.
Me, oh, how he loves you and me.
been a good day in God's house today. I'm glad we got to share this. I really am looking forward to being back together tonight. This will be our first time back on Sunday night since back before Christmas. And boy, I'm excited about it. And I'm excited about walking through Romans together. And we're going to enjoy that journey. Let's bow together now. Let's have our final prayer. And then one last song as we're dismissed. Father, we thank you that you love us. Thank you, Father, that this is not a truth we take for granted. It is a realization that changes everything. Thank you, Lord, for that word from John 3:16, that God so loved the world. Thank you, Lord, that you love us and you call us to yourself and you save us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.